This is Friday on the Other Side on Mind Talk. I'm your host, Dr. Pamela Brewer. Mind Talk is the show that provides you with relationship health and mental health information every day. And on Fridays, we take a look at experiences and concepts that you might not think have a mental health component, but in fact, they do. I would like to introduce you to today's guests. We have two individuals who seem to have made a success of a question that women often ask, which is, how do I find love? How do I keep love? How do I make it work? I'm very pleased to introduce you to Mario Clotier and Diane Clotier, authors of Relovinship, Look Within to Love Again. Welcome, Mario.
Hi, Pam. Thank you very much for having us.
My pleasure. And Diane, welcome to you as well.
Thank you. It's an honor to be on your show.
Now, I want to start by making something very clear that you make very clear. You say, which for some folks I think will make this even more of a useful conversation for them. You say very clearly, folks, we're not therapists, but we've got a relationship that really works, and we help other people to find relationships that really work. Is that a fair statement?
Definitely, definitely. Now, we wrote this book from a hands-on perspective, if you will, so we're not pretending to be anybody that we're not. It's truly a methodology for individuals who are still seeking to find their soulmate or ideal life partner in spite of how many breakups they may have had before, because that's the place Diane and I were at one time in our lives.
And you two met in 1995. You didn't become romantically involved till 98, and you married in 2001. So you have found a way to make it work, despite what many people experience as being real fears, particularly if they've had a relationship that wasn't really working as they had hoped. Diane, I'd like to hear from you. What was going on in your life at the time that you met your now husband?
Well, at the time of my life, if I go back, I was married the first time, and then I got divorced. I, as a single mom, I was on the dating scene, you may say, and I started getting to other relationships. And those relationships were not really working either. And I was kind of discouraged, losing hope. And, you know, I asked myself, I said, hold on a second, Diane, what is going on here? You know, why am I not succeeding in those relationships? What am I being attracted to certain men and, you know, it's not working out? So I decided that, you know, I took the, there's two things that, you know, that are important. There is courage and there is decisiveness.
Interesting. Courage.
Yeah, and when I talk about, when I talk about courage, at that time when my relationships weren't working, I decided that I was going to look at myself. I asked the question, am I being true to myself? Or am I hiding by some excuses? When I say excuses, they're not really excuses. Those are all the pain, the fears that I've been living, fear of being alone, fear of rejection, you know, going from relationship to another. So I started questioning myself. Am I being true to myself? Or am I hiding behind any of those excuses? And then the other question I asked is, what is it that I truly want in the relationship? So I mustered the courage to look at myself, stop blaming the others, stop blaming circumstances, and started to do some of that self-reflective introspection work on myself. And I did some exercises on myself to really find out who I was, what do I truly want, what do I value. And from that point on, I decided that I was no longer going to compromise or settle on a relationship that was not what I was looking for. So for me, those were two components, the courage to really look at oneself and to decide what we want, really want. And, you know, the no settlement, no compromise was really something that I stood by because, you know, that's the key. And I think that's sometimes what we do. We settle and we compromise on the relationship that we really truly want, we look for. So I was resolute. If I had to be alone for a while, so be it. I was going to be patient. And but I did truly want that blissful relationship. So right. I did stay patient. And what that helped me also, Pam, is that I helped discover who I was. And then mm-hmm. I was able to determine and qualify better the candidates or the people that I was dating. And I wasn't going to fall into those traps again. So I stayed patient. And eventually, Mario and I met. We were friends first. And then we became romantically involved. And here we are today. We're very happy. And we know that this is possible. It worked for us. And it is possible for others. So I just want to say that those exercises that I did, unbeknownst to us, when Mario and I met and we became romantically involved, we talked about that. And unbeknownst to us, he also did that same journey of, you know, what is it that he wanted? I know, Mario, if you want to talk about that, I don't want to take that away from you. You want to mention it.
Before you go to what your experience was, which I very much want to hear, this is a question actually to both of you. Either one of you can answer. Diane, I heard you say very clearly, no compromises, no settlement. But, you know, healthy relationships often, in order for them to be sustainable, they require compromise. So I'm going to ask you to explain the distinction between a compromise within the relationship that doesn't hurt versus a compromise getting to the relationship, which actually might hurt a lot.
That is a good question, Pam, and that's where we have to do the distinction. When we talk about, because there is compromise in a relationship, I certainly hope so, because, you know, you have to, there's flexibility, there's give and take. But when we talk about no compromise and no settlement, that is something when you stick by your personal laws. And when we talk, and that's what we talk about, we, in the book, the first part of the book, we talk about the inside journey, the self-reflective exercises, and then that will help you get to know who you are. And then at the second part of the book, that's going to be the venturing out, qualifying the individual, having, you know, how do you attract? It gives you the tools. So in that part, it helps you establish your personal laws. So the personal laws, what they are, those are the non-negotiables that you want to set to yourself into the no compromise relationship. What I mean by that is, for me, a compromise was that as a single mom, for me, it was important that they embrace my son. That the person that I was going to be with had to embrace my son, not just accept it, but embrace my son. I had set myself some personal laws that, you know, I didn't want to deviate that will lose myself and my individuality.
I see.
So that's what I mean when we talk about no compromise, about the relationship you want to attract.
And Mario,
I don't know if that answers the question.
It absolutely answers it very well. Mario, I'd like to hear what was going on in your life back when you met Diane in 1995.
Well, when I met Diane, as we said, I was already involved, so we were friends first before anything happened. I guess the process that I did on my own end after I separated was to truly get to that place of Diane alluded to get to know who I was first and certainly get to that place of clarity. I couldn't stress that enough that for me, I was in the same mindset that I didn't want to compromise anymore, and I was looking for a truly compatible partner that would grow with me and evolve with me as I move forward. So that was definitely my intention. And in the work that we do, that's probably, I would say, that the most commonalities that we find is that people don't take the time to get to that place of self-awareness first and then move on to that place of clarity as to what kind of relationship that they want. The major roadblocks that we see are often along those lines. And for some people, it means camouflaging yourself at the beginning of a relationship because you desperately want to please the other, but you tend to forget totally who you are as yourself. And again, there's nothing wrong with trying to please the other party. But what we're trying to say is that, you know, make sure that you know what you want, make sure that you know who you are so that you can set out that intention out there with clarity and then stick by what you want to attract in your life. That's very important.
Now, you're both saying that it's important to know who you are. And the other thing that you've both made clear is that you were friends for a while before you entered into a romantic relationship. And you know, in today's world, very often people have sex without even knowing each other's name, let alone taking time to figure out if there's a potential for a friendship bond. So I just want to go back and ask, is it really important to be friends before your lovers, or does it not really matter?
Well, I think the situation can be different for everyone, but we tend to value a lot friendship. I think friendship leads you to a place where you truly get to know the other party. And, you know, I couldn't agree more with what you just said, Pam. We tend to live in a society that values, you know, instant gratification on everything. We, you know, we want everything to be quick, 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 quick. We have technology now at our fingertips that do things for us in light speed fashion. So it seems like it's almost in our DNA now. And when it comes to relationship, for some reason, many of us tend to have the same approach. What we're saying is that slow is good. What we're saying is that everything of great value deserves to be patient. You know, everything of great value deserves attention, it deserves efforts, it deserves energy, and all of those good things. So, you know, it's okay to take your time.
I'm always reminded when I talk about relationships of a workshop I did a bunch of years ago, and I'll never forget the young woman who announced that, and it was a healthy relationship workshop, and she announced that if she didn't hear her partner say that they were in love within 90 days, she was out of there because she was convinced that they weren't committed to the relationship. So my question to you is, we're saying taking time. I think we're all agreeing that it's important to take time. But, you know, time looks like different things to different people. Time could be a week for somebody. For that particular woman, time was 90 days.
Definitely.
If he didn't say, I love you in 90 days, she was gone. So when we talk about time, is it different things for different people? Do you think it should be a certain amount of months or year? I mean, for the two of you, it was years.
Yeah, it was years, but we didn't even know at that time that we were going to become romantically involved. It's not that we said we're going to stay friends for 3 years. I didn't even know that I was going to get until it just shifted at one point. But it's not like we stayed friends because we were getting into a romantic relationship and we decided we were going to stay friends for 3 years. Mm-hmm. It just happened that we knew each other for 3 years. But even when we started into the romantic relationship, it still took time before we even, you know, physically got, involved. And for me, it was important that I took my time. And again, there's no right or wrong.
Okay.
It has to be whatever you have decided and you value from the beginning. You have to set that from the get-go. What are your goals? What is important in the relationship? And stick by those, like I talked about, the personal laws. And sometimes we tend to forget them. We have those personal laws. Those are the deal breakers, the boundaries that we put. And then when we meet somebody, we kind of say, oh, it doesn't matter. I'm going to brush it off. It's not that important what I wrote or what I thought, you know, was important. It's not that important. And we kind of settle. And that's what I mean. And if we don't stick by those, then you get to know the person. Is it according to what I want? And we have to ask all those important questions from the beginning. What is it that we're looking for in the relationship? So setting all those from the get-go, it stops us from getting into the relationship too far down the road and realizing that, well, no, we were not really compatible, or, you know, that's not what I thought. So establishing that, you know, and that's what we talk about the book. We give some tips on that in the second part of the book. I don't know, Mario, if you want to add something to that.
Well, Mario, I'm going to actually interrupt
you. Well, what I would
you.
Like to add.
Mario, I'm going to interrupt you.
Sorry, go ahead, Patty. You had a question?
I'm going to interrupt you because we're going to take a break. But when we come back, you've sure. talked about the questions that you ask each other. And the first question that I'd like for us to take a look at is, how do you get to know yourself? You're both saying it's important to know yourself. And I hear people right now in my head saying, well, how do I do that? So we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we will continue with Mario and Diane Clotier. We'll be right back. Hello, folks. I'm Pamela Brewer, and you are continuing to listen to Women's Wednesday here on Mind Talk. Mario and Diane, the question, the direction of getting to know oneself. I know there are people listening who say, I've been living with myself for all these years. I think I know myself. Next. So, but you're saying you got to stop and take time to know yourself. What does that mean? What do you do?
Well, it takes time to get to know yourself, but I'd like to go back to the notion that Diane talked about earlier. Also, it takes courage. You know, we need to mm-hmm. look at ourselves in the mirror with honesty and say, you know, am I being true to myself? And one of the systems that we've developed to get to that place of knowing who you are, that place of self-worthiness, is a system that we've called the GBVP system. And it stands for, what are your gratitudes, what are your beliefs, what are your values, and what are your priorities? And in that exercise, what we ask individuals is to sit down and ask themselves the true questions to get to those places where they can identify those four vital components. And once they get to that place after, you know, it's different for everybody. Some people can do it in an hour. Other people will put it aside and take a few days to complete. But once you do that, you truly get to a place where you start to understanding who you are, and most importantly, you start to establish your self-worth.
Well, give us an example of gratitudes, values, beliefs. What's an example of something that one would feel gratitude for that would actually give you a way of understanding the best partner for you?
Well, at that stage, what we say is that you're not at the stage right now where you can truly identify what your best partner is, because okay. what you're trying to do, again, is trying to understand who you are. So gratitudes, obviously, will be different for everybody. And, you know, some people will sit down and will write down all kinds of material things for which they're grateful for, and that's fine. The important thing here is to be honest with yourself and go through the exercise where we say, you know, just write down everything that comes through your mind that you're grateful for. When it comes to beliefs, you know, we have all those beliefs in ourselves, and they tend to be oftentimes the things that we keep repeating to ourselves on an ongoing basis. And some of them are empowering, and others are disempowering. So once you do that exercise, you start to realize that you know, there's maybe areas for improvement in certain places. The values, well, the values basically are the things that stand in one word and the things that you tend to admire in other people. So those are things like trustworthiness, you know, I'm grateful for courage of that person or what have you. So you write down your values, your priorities. Where it gets very interesting is that we say to people, when it comes to priorities, what you should do is look at how you spend your time. So go back to your calendar if you have one, a day timer if you have one, and look truly where you spend your time, because we tend to write down things that we think we prioritize, But where you spend your time is truly what you prioritize on a daily basis.
It's interesting.
So, in doing all of that, then you get to start to get to that place of knowing who you are. And from that point on, you can start to increase your love worth and determine what you would value in your next relationship.
So when you talk about beliefs and ask folks to identify beliefs, are you talking about beliefs that they have about themselves or about the world at large, or both?
It could be both, but it's something that is personal to us. Example of belief, you know, some disempowering belief sometimes that we have is, let's say, I'm unlucky at love. Yeah. I'm getting too old. Those are sometimes unconscious, or they could be also conscious beliefs. And some of the, and we want to pull out the empowering ones. And as a human being, some of we tend to get to the negative ones. The negative ones seems to kind of take over the positive ones. So the part of the exercises is understanding those disempowering beliefs. And we have examples that we provide. We have on the website, we have templates to help in those exercises. So it's really, really putting down all those. And there's not, you know, it's limitless what you can have. And you realize that by doing that exercise. And by writing them down and really being honest with oneself, and there's no right or wrong. It's only you. You're the only one that's doing the exercise. So that's a critical component to get to the self-worth, because we'd be surprised that all sometimes the roadblocks that stops us from getting into that blissful relationship are often those things. Those are the roadblocks. Example, we talked about camouflaging. We talked about the fear. We can talk about fear factor. And the fear factor sometimes is disguised into the fear of rejection. What have we lived before that makes us feel this way? Sometimes before even a relationship starts, we have that fear and we don't want to pursue it because of those feelings that we have. And so it's important to identify what has gone on before and what are those feelings of the beliefs that we have, and get to a place after we get to that, we want to get to the place of self-worth. And self-worth is you know, important, because we lack sometimes that self-worthiness.
Yes.
And the question is, how can you love somebody else if you're not loving yourself? And sometimes we don't realize that before we do some of that work on our own.
That's very true. Diane, you mentioned the templates at the website, and I think this is a great time to actually give out your website. I'm looking at the templates, and I have to say, I think they're really wonderful. They're very clear, and they're very helpful. So what is that website where folks can take a look at templates?
It's relovenship.com, and then there's a place where it has the free stuff, and then they can get the templates depending on what the subject is. It could be values, it could be the priorities, so you select the one that you want. So it's relovenship.com.
Okay, and that's spelled, Chris, can you spell that for us? Not Chris. I'm sorry. I'm changing your name. Mario, can you spell that for us?
Yes, it's relovenship.com. Relovenship.com.
Gotcha. You've been talking about the beliefs that folks have, and you know, I think how many times do I hear folks say, well, I'm not looking for Mr. Right, I'm looking for Mr. Less Wrong, or I'm not looking for Ms. Right, I'm looking for somebody who'll leave me alone. That sounds like they're looking to settle before they even start to look.
And I love that when I hear comments like that. You know, we say from the get-go in the book, our book is not for everyone. The book is truly for people who, you know, have had disappointments, have had breakups, and are now in a place where they don't want to settle anymore. They truly want to attract their ideal life partner, whatever that ideal life partner may be for them. So what we're trying to say with the book is that if you're in that space, it means that status quo is no longer an option for you. Mm. So we have a methodology that will change all that. And, you know, we've all heard that saying that if you do the same things over and over again, you just can't expect different results. It's just the formula for insanity. So with our methodology, we help people make that mindset shift to get to that place where when it comes to their next or new relationship, they won't compromise, they won't settle anymore because they know exactly what they want, and we provide them the tools to achieve that.
One of the tasks that you ask is that folks identify at least two choices that have been impactful in their lives. Why is that question important?
The reason why it's important is that it helps people bring them back to that space, to that mindset, to that situation where they can truly remember the feelings that they experienced when they went through a positive experience and when they went through a not so positive experience. And I think what you're referring to is the section where we say generating the wealth of thought. We have this methodology, this process, where it helps people stop the flow of negative inner thoughts. Mm. So that's why we ask them to do that kind of exercise.
And you also talk about the power of storytelling, the stories that we tell ourselves. This is a question to either Mario or Diane. Why is it so important to pay attention to this story that I might tell myself about me?
Well, the reason why it's important is that, again, you need to identify what truly empowers you and what truly disempowers you. The power of storytelling, we were told, and again, we're not experts. We don't pretend to have all the answers, but from the readings that we've done and the experts that we tapped into, it said that everything that's ingrained in the subconscious mind is so much powerful than what we have ingrained in our conscious mind.
It's true.
So in doing that process of unveiling your stories, that helps you, again, tap into what truly empowers you and what truly disempowers you so that you can really shift forward in the direction that you want to take.
Diane,
if I just want to add something to that, and when we say those stories, there are stories that we've held on for a long time, and those are sometimes stories that we kind of have excuses or reasons why we're not, you know, pursuing the relationship. So that's why it's important to really understand them. Are they helping you? Because we all have stories.
Right.
We all have stories. If we hang on to them and be into the blame situation, blaming ourselves, blaming the others, we're not going anywhere. We actually have a chapter in the book. It's called The Four Liberating Secrets. And one of the first chapter is, about forgiveness. Forgiveness is your free path to love. So it really means that you have to forgive yourself. And you also have to be able to forgive whatever the circumstances or the other person. And that's the difficult part. But that is a critical component, not to hang on to those stories and to have that those inner thoughts be changed to really transforming into powerful and giving you the confidence. That's the whole idea, is giving you also the confidence of getting out there and seeking for that relationship that you want.
So if I am in the business of telling myself, for example, that every relationship I've ever chosen has just been a train wreck, and I'm really angry with myself about that unless I do some different work, that's probably what I'm going to continue to create for myself.
That's exactly it. You have it right on. And that's why we're saying, and I, like I told my story before, I've had this, you know, relationship that didn't work. If I didn't take the courage and that decisiveness to make changes, and the changes have to come from ourselves,
right?
Because there's nothing, you know, we can't change the other. So that's why it's important to do that, that process of really inner, and, you know, to become to a place where you're feeling confident, your love worth is increased, and you're able to get to the second part of the book.
Mario Cloutier and Diane Cloutier are authors of Relovinship, Look Within to Love Again. And loving again, quite frankly, is an experience that they both have personal experience with. We're going to take a break, but when we come back, I'd just like to spend a couple more seconds on this notion of self-forgiveness, because folks do get kind of tangled up in that forgiveness task. Folks, I'm Pamela Brewer. You're listening to Mind Talk. This is Women's Wednesday. We will be right back. Hi, folks. This is Pamela Brewer. You are continuing to listen to Women's Wednesday here on Mind Talk as I continue the conversation with Mario and Diane Cloutier. Relovinship is the workbook that they have created, and it really is a workbook. You're going to do some work, but it's going to be good work. Relovinship, Look Within to Love Again. Let's talk for a few more moments, and this is a question to either Mario or Diane, about the issue of forgiveness, forgiveness of self, forgiveness of others. So many times what I hear from folks is, I can't forgive myself. I should have known better, been better, done better. You fill in the blanks. That's one part of the equation. And then the other part is, if I forgive so-and-so, then they're going to keep doing it. Which part of the forgiveness tangle would you like to address? Again, it's a question for either one of you.
Well, I think I'll, if I can answer that one, forgiveness is definitely an individual walk. You can't take anybody else along on the ride. You need to address it from an individual point of view. And, you know, there's that misconception out there. I find that, you know, we talked a bit earlier about intimacy and the whole sex thing. We think that men process, you know, the situation the same way. Well, it's not the case. I talk in the book about a specific case, an individual that used to be a client of mine, and that guy went through a very serious breakup because, according to him, out of the blue, he found out that the love of his life was leaving him and moving on one morning. Had a very, very tough time to overcome that. And that's actually some of the stuff that we did together was for me to make him understand that he had to find a way to forgive him and forgive whatever happened in that relationship for him to move on. Now, this was a guy at the time that was you know, very handsome, early 40s, a great career, and so on and so forth. And what I wanted him to realize and what we said together later on is that he got to that place where he understood that the romantic setback, the romantic heartbreak that he had was truly an opportunity for him for a life-changing comeback. And that's how the forgiveness part pattern really took place in his life.
So he was able to forgive himself for his own past behaviors that he may or may not have been aware of until that moment when he was so shocked by her leaving.
Definitely, because what we often find is that there's no such thing as a person leaving out of the blue.
Right.
You know,
right.
There's signs, there's situation, there's
such
stuff that
point.
Happens.
Yeah.
And yes, you may be in a situation where you think you got dumped and that you didn't do anything right. But that's a journey that you need to do on yourself, to go back and look at it, look at the situation, look at yourself. And then once you realize whatever happens, you need to get to that place of forgiveness, to forgive yourself first and then forgive the other party, because you won't be able to move on into another relationship if you bring all that negative baggage with you. It ain't going to last. Again, if you're looking for a long-lasting, blissful relationship, if you're looking only to date and meet other people, that's a different story. But if you're looking to really rebuild your life and move in a new direction with somebody else, you need to clean that up.
Now, do you need the other person to apologize before you can forgive them?
No, I don't think, Pam, because really the forgiveness comes from us, from within, from us, ourselves. So whether if we're going to wait to the other person forgive, maybe they will. You know, that's something we can try. You can knock on that door and ask for forgiveness. But the first thing we have to do is, even if we can depend on the other person to forgive us, we have to forgive and to forgive the other. That's our own journey. That's inside. It doesn't matter right or wrong. It's really to go into that place of forgiveness so you can move on, like Mario was saying. If you don't pass that, then you're going to be hung up to those negative feelings, bad memories, because we all have them, you know. But at one point in life, you say, okay, I have to move on, turn the page, and just, you know, change my mindset. Because or else that's going to, you know, just keep dragging with me with other relationships.
So it sounds like we're moving very naturally into liberating secret number two. It's not about them. It's about you.
Sorry, I didn't hear your question, Pam. Sorry.
The liberating secret number...
Can you repeat the question?
Liberating secret number two. You say that it's not about them. It's about you. How is that a liberation, that it's not about them? I mean, I'd rather it be about them, quite frankly. I don't want it to be about me.
Yes, again, that situation, again, as we talked about, requires a lot of courage. And it's understanding that, you know, there's all kinds of situations that happen in the course of a relationship. There's all kinds of behaviors, obviously, but you know, when you get in a relationship, it's not true that it's a 50-50 kind of thing. You know, at times it can be a 100-0, at times it can be a 10 versus a 90. What we're trying to say here is that we need to have accountability, and that's what liberating secret number two is all about. We need to be accountable to say, I am responsible 100% for the success of my love life, and from that point on, I will stop looking at external reasons for why things are not working out. I will look at myself first, and I will make sure that I truly understand what is it that I want and who I am, and I'm going to stick by that no matter what. That's basically what it's all about.
The idea that if you are, as you're looking at yourself and you're trying to figure out what's going on with you, one of the questions that you pose in relationship is, could it be that you're too indecisive regarding a mate, or could it be that you're too needy about a mate? Talk to us about what you mean by too indecisive or too needy.
So for me, too needy is that we want something. There's a difference between wanting something and really being needy of something. That's where we have to understand our own behavior, and that's where we do the exercise. We see one of the patterns, one of the roadblocks that we see is jumping from one relationship to another without really stepping back and assessing really who we are, what went wrong, so we can avoid those painful patterns. And that's sometimes where we fall into the trap of being needy, because we're just not really looking at our true self. And when we talked about the camouflaging before, we're not being really true to ourselves and stick by what we really want. And then we fall into the trap of being needy, wanting to please, and losing ourselves in that individuality, because we forget about ourselves.
So part of...
And on that note, if I may add, Pam, very quickly, we found very refreshing a few weeks after our book came out, we stumbled upon a study from the University of Arizona. They conducted a very extensive study with over 200 adults that had gone through recent breakups and serious heartbreaks because they wanted to understand how people could recover from that. And basically, what they've done is that they divided the sample into two different groups, and they ask one half of the group to go back and do some self-reflective analysis exercises on themselves and on their relationships. And as a main finding from this study, it came out that the people that took the time to do that went on the recovery path a lot faster. So I guess it correlates what we're saying here, is that if you're jumping from one relationship to another, you need to find solutions for you to stop that flow and reassess really what's going on.
And take a look at what you're so afraid of, quite frankly, because if you're not giving yourself space between relationships to reflect, what is it that you're trying to run away from? What is it that you're trying to cover up? And not with shame. You know, so many times people get caught up in the shame of a relationship that did or did not work. And not in the curiosity, which is really the thing that will, certainly in my view, help them to move forward in, as you say, a healthier and a more intentional way. And actually, you talk about something called intention practice. What is that? You talk about something called intention practice. What is that?
Well, the intention practice is truly defining with clarity, with, you know, having that clear, vivid image in your mind of what is it exactly that you want in the next relationship. And that goes beyond, you know, the physical traits of the person. It goes beyond the spiritual traits of the person. It's really about what you can visualize and determine as far as the whole relationship is concerned. That's what intentioning is all about. And there's a whole process that we describe. There's a chapter dedicated to that. It's a five-step process that we encourage people to put in practice in their lives.
Yeah, I can expand on that. It's that five steps. It start once you've done all the exercises before, and then you get to that place of clarifying the clarity, what is it that you want? The second step would be intentioning. Setting that motion of intention, because that is a powerful emotion, of setting it out there and you know, waiting till it happens, just setting that intention for the motion to start. And then you have believing. You have to believe. I mean, that is such a powerful emotion, to believe that it will happen before it shows up. And you know, and those are some of the key, because the mind and the emotion, the body goes hand in hand. And then you want to be in the thanking process, thanking before it even shows up. And then you start into the attracting process. So that's a five-step that you may want to go into, you know, more in depth once the reader gets into that section. But that's where it was really for. It's really about, you know, giving clarity and setting the intention out there.
You know, I notice in your book, you know, clearly it's in two separate parts. One is the inside journey, and we've been talking a lot about that, and also the outside journey, the venturing out, and there are some pitfalls that you ask folks to avoid. What are some of those pitfalls that we need to be mindful of as we venture out?
One of them that we want to make sure that we want to stay away from, at least be conscious about it, is the fear factor. When we talk about the fear, that, you know, if we come back and say, it's okay to fear. It's, you know, we all have those fears. It's just not stopping you from moving ahead. Understanding, okay, what am I afraid of? What is it that makes me feel that way? So we've established that we try to get back to that place ahead of time. So avoiding those pitfalls, making sure that it's okay to fear. Because as they say, there's a saying of the acronym for fear, false evidence appearing real. So it is that emotion sometimes that stops us, prevents us from moving forward in other situations of our life when we're fearing about something. So it's important to face it head on and to say, okay, yeah, I'm fearing. What is my feeling? Why am I feeling that way? And try to keep and stick to what, you know, you've established from the beginning. Another one of the, you know, the pitfalls is really about be careful of just the physical attraction. I mean, yes, we hear sometimes about love at first sight. We're not saying that it cannot work. All we're saying is that, you know, beyond, because you want that physical attraction, you want that connection, you know, those are all good things. But at one point, don't fall into the relationship before you started to do the work in terms of assessing what we want, who is that person, before it gets too far into the relationship, because the first intention from that was the physical attraction. So it's important to really understand and not fall into those traps you know, not doing that due diligence from the get-go.
The fear that is can be so much a part of relationships. There is a number one fear on the fear list, if you will. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, I want to spend a moment or two talking about the fear, the number one fear on the all-time fear list. We'll be right back. Welcome back. This is Pamela Brewer. You're listening to Women's Wednesday, and I continue the conversation with authors Mario and Diane Clotier, and they are the authors of Relovinship, Look Within to Love Again, and it is a workbook to attract the one and really a whole lot more in your life. The number one fear on the fear list is the fear of being or staying alone. Let's talk about that, because so many times people make all kinds of decisions that flow from that fear of being or staying alone.
Yes, well, the fear of being alone is definitely probably the biggie out there. And what's important to understand is, you know, why do people experience that fear? Well, oftentimes it's only a lack of confidence or a lack of faith in oneself. And we need to understand that anything related to fear is only an end result. It's an end result of some pain that we've experienced at one point in our lives. So we need to be conscious of that so that we can become better acquainted with ourselves and really challenge that fear when it shows up.
The idea that one would rather not be alone, will settle for anything versus nothing, or will stay in a relationship because for whatever reason they believe that they're just not going to find somebody else. And it might be because of their age or because of a health reason or something. They may say, you know, I've got this thing going on with me that's not so easily compatible with other people. I better stay right where I am and just kind of suck it up. Sounds like you're saying don't do that.
Exactly, and that comes to the point where we talked about the fear of being alone. And when we have those feelings, it makes us do example. We jump from one relationship, we dive into relationship thinking it's going to ease the pain because we've been hurt in one relationship, so we hurry up and get into another relationship, and yet it's just setting, you know, us up for failure. So the reason sometimes people stay with someone, you know, because they don't want to be alone, and at the same time they have that fear of rejection. They don't want to be rejection or abandoned. So you know, those are some of the fears that we We need, and that's why we talk about the self-worth. Focus on your worthiness.
I see.
Because when we do that, because we don't feel we're worthy enough, and that's why we settle.
Okay. Now, Diane, I got a question for you. I heard you say that one needs to engage in due diligence. And I have to tell you that I have talked to more than one woman. I get this more from women than from men, for whom due diligence means they're hiring a private detective, they're doing an internet search, they're checking out everything they can check out. And that's due diligence. Is that what you're talking about?
Well, when I refer to due diligence, is doing that research. Doing, not necessarily, you're not engaging in the private eye, but doing some research in terms of really getting to the question. I'll give you an example. When we, let's say, when it's like an interview, you want to do an interview, you go for a job, or would you not find out more about that work? What the company is about? What is the position about? You want to ask those questions. You want to ask what is those questions that you want to find out about the person, and put those questions down. Don't be afraid to ask the two questions, because sometimes that's what we do. Well, I'm not going to ask that. What if he's not interested in me, or, you know, maybe I'm going to scare him off. Well, better to do it from the get-go. And what is it that's important to you? Put down what's your goals. This is what I want in a relationship. I want this, this, and that. Maybe we share the same thing. Maybe we don't share the same thing, but this is important to me. Why don't we address those and do that due diligence and that research about the person? Who is he coming from? What does he do? Ask about his past. You know, it's important to know all these things and not get disappointed when we get into the relationship it's too far because we didn't ask the right question. I'm not saying we're going to find out everything at the beginning. That's not what I mean. But take it slow into the relationship. And that's where we come back to taking it slow. You don't have to hurry up, because then when once you don't hurry up, you know, there's no, you know, you don't have that feeling of failure because it didn't, you know, you didn't get involved too long into the relationship. You stopped it from the beginning.
You know, as you list some of the questions that make, you know, perfect good sense to ask, I also think about those, you know, horrifying experience where you meet somebody and within a half hour, you know about all their failed relationships, failed is their perspective. You know that they want to get married. They want to, their clock is ticking. They want to have X number of children and they want to live this kind of a lifestyle. And it kind of happens within, you know, the first date, first 20, 30 minutes of the date. Is that what you mean by getting it all out on the table?
No, that's it. Yeah, I don't know if Mary wanted to get
one example that we give in the book, in the process of due diligence, we ask people to act as a very good CEO or a very decisive CEO for what they do. And to get to the example that you just shared with us, we see a lot of that. You know, you get on a date and people spill on you their whole life, you know, within 30 minutes or so.
Right.
What we say in the book is that you should act as a decisive CEO. And the good ones out there, when they meet people, they tend not to talk too much. To the contrary, they tend to ask a lot of questions and they listen a lot.
Okay.
So if you are meeting someone that is just the opposite of that, maybe that should be a red flag for you.
Okay, that sounds reasonable. Now, you know, something else that I've heard from older men often is when they're in a dating situation, what I will hear them say, you know what, I am 50 years old, I am 65, I am 75 years old, I don't need to take all that time to figure out who I need to know and how I need to know them. Time is ticking for me. I know. Let's go forward. Let's go do this relationship thing. What do you say to those older folks who are saying, I don't have time to take?
Well, obviously, we all have limited time on this planet. It's just the reality of it all. Again, it goes back to what is it that you want? If you want something in a relationship to be blissful, you won't try to rush the other party. You'll take your time, whatever time is necessary, and you'll get to that place. If that's not your intention, again, if you're just in the dating scene, just to date, well, then again, you won't have that preoccupation. But I would say that if you're, as a man, if you're in it to find a blissful relationship, time shouldn't be an issue at all,
gotcha,
regardless of what age you're at.
regardless of the age you're at. Okay, fair enough. And, you know, I think it's important that you clarify that it is important to clarify what is the goal in dating. Is it just to date and meet people and have a good time and that's all it is? Or are you really looking for something with perhaps a little bit more permanency? And either one is whatever it is, but just be kind of clear about what you're looking for yourself. Fair statement?
For sure, for sure.
And that's what we say, you know, be clear, but it's sometimes we'll say things that, oh yeah, I know what I want. I want him to be like this, I want that. But it's more in depth than that. That's why we talk about doing those exercises, because they're critical. They're critical into defining who we are and looking more clarity of what is that we want and sticking by those personal laws so we don't fall into the trap of no compromise, no settlement. When we start qualifying that individual.
And one of the templates that's on your website that I'm looking at is the clarity table. And I notice that you indicate at the top, I wish the other person to be, to enjoy, or to have qualities and values. So you want to list the qualities and values, their interests and hobbies, their education, their financial status, their physical attributes. And we all know that there are people who put physical, financial, who reverse this list, quite frankly. Physical's first, financial second, or maybe financial is first, education, interests, and qualities. You, in fact, focus on the qualities and the values of the individual, which I think is really important. I couldn't agree with you more.
And that's why we said, you know, earlier on that when you think of that relationship, look at the whole package, the whole thing. And truly, Pam, we wrote this book with three objectives in mind. We wanted to stay away from general statements and fuzzy concepts that you often find in some self-help books
right
out there. We wanted to provide that true step-by-step methodology, which I think we have. But also, as we said earlier, we talk from experience, and throughout the book, we thought it was important also to provide, you know, that feminine and masculine perspective on relationships, because, you know, this may surprise you, but men and women don't look at relationships the same way.
You're kidding. I have to say to both of you, thank you so much for spending the time today to talk to us here on Mind Talk. Relovenship, that's R-E-L-O-V-E-N-S-H-I-P, Look Within to Love Again by Mario and Diane Cloutier. Thank you both very much.
We're so honored to be there. And just the last message that we want to tell the audience is our message to you. You don't have to suffer any longer. There is a soulmate out there for you, and you don't have to give up anymore.
Thank you very much for that. And
folks, thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to this edition of
Thank you, Pam.
My pleasure to both. Again, Mario and Diane Cloutier. Folks, remember, you can listen to this program and all Mind Talk programs on demand at mindtalk.org. That's mindtalk.org. Mind Talk is provided daily as an educational public service and is not intended to replace treatment with a licensed medical or mental health or other professional of your choosing. The managing producer is Jim Brown in 26 by 2 Communications. Remember, mindtalk.org is the place to go for more information. If you'd like to be in touch with me directly, that number is 301-654-5286. And remember, if it's unacceptable, it's unacceptable. Take care.